You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a delight and privilege to be in studio to answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information, and then write to our callers. Again, the number to dial to get your question answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK. On the web, you can contact us at equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember that resource consultants, as always, are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. I am going to make one little deviation from what I just said and then write to our callers. I picked up a letter just as I was walking into the studio, getting to be a habit, but I love these letters. They encourage me, and I thought they might encourage you as well. This letter is from Emily. She says, "Dear Hank, thank you very much for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I listen to it almost every day as I work as a courier for Federal Express. On a portable radio I have in the delivery van. The point you've made recently about Joel Osteen, his preaching and so forth, are something that I've thought about for a very long time." And then Emily makes a very profound insight. I won't regurgitate it here, but it was very helpful to me. Then she says, "Also, thank you for standing up and disagreeing with the so-called Christian movies like Heaven is for Real," and she mentioned some other movies as well. Anyway, she concludes the letter by saying, "I thank you for your biblically based arguments, and I will continue to listen to and support your ministry." And again, the reason I read letters like this is it is a reminder to all of us that we are a team. We have an absolutely stunning team working within the walls of the Christian Research Institute. The talent level is almost beyond imagination. And now we have this team outside the walls of the Christian Research Institute who are equally vital because they pray for this ministry and they support this ministry. And I'm so grateful for the numbers of people who are becoming monthly Bible Answer Man support team members. And some are doing it anonymously, but for those that let me know that they're doing it, and it does mean a lot to me, I'd be just pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books. Right now we're featuring Afterlife. Personalized to you, a family member or a friend, is my way of saying thank you for standing with the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the quickest, the safest, most secure, most efficient way to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team is on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Sean, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Sean is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing really good. I actually just got done reading your book shortly ago, The Apocalypse Code. Very insightful, profound book.
Thank you.
It was a good read. I had gotten into a discussion with a friend a while back about basically the mark of the beast and Revelation. And I know it's a very debated thing nowadays. I basically hold to the notion of that it's been fulfilled, everything but the second coming of Christ, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. He kind of holds to this, my friend holds to the notion of that there'll be this futuristic mark and beast and kind of like this whole new world order and all this other mumble jumble that goes along with it. So basically my question would be, what makes that notion most implausible?
Well, what makes it most implausible is that, remember that John says that with wisdom and understanding, his readers are able to discern the number of the beast and the number of his name. If the beast is a 21st century character, then John is deluding his own readers, because obviously they could not decipher the number of a beast living in the 21st century. That makes the beast, by definition, a first century character. However, having said that, there are beasts or there are antichrists in every single epoch of time. And this is what John actually alludes to in his epistles. He says that antichrist is anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And therefore, antichrist is not only relevant with respect to individuals, but also with respect to institutions. But I also think that it's important to read Scripture in light of Scripture, such that you find out in doing so that the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. And you see this in sequential chapters in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13 has the mark of the beast, but Revelation chapter 14 has the mark of the Lamb. Now, all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are true Israel, in that we believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in the person work of Jesus Christ, have the mark of Jesus Christ on our foreheads, according to Scripture. Now, as I look around the studio, there are a number of people that I know are followers of Jesus Christ. I know that not only by their confession, but also by the fruit of their life. I don't see a mark on their foreheads. Furthermore, if you read Scripture in light of Scripture, there's another point that will be discovered, and that is the forehead, and the hands were Old Testament symbols. And what they were symbols for is what someone believed and what someone did. In other words, the forehead is symbolic of what someone believes. The hand is symbolic of what someone does. And therefore, if you read Ezekiel, you find out that by a person's worldview and by what they do, you can identify whether they belong to the Lamb or whether they belong to the beast. So again, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. If the mark of the Lamb is not a visible mark, then we shouldn't suppose that the mark of the beast is a visible mark either.
Makes perfect sense. It's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar's dream in a way, how the seven heads of gold and all that, and it doesn't literally mean that, it's metaphorical, and it's a little bit different from, but a lot of what Revelation's saying is metaphorical, as you've said in your book.
Yeah, and I think that when we say metaphorical, a lot of people listening into our conversation will think, wow, these guys don't take the Bible literally, but metaphors are not a way of saying, I don't take the Bible literally, but rather a way of saying that the Bible communicates in such a way that does not obscure truth, but rather illumines truth that we would otherwise miss. So metaphors biblically have sharp teeth. They're communicating something that we might miss otherwise. Why is it that Jesus Christ is called a lion? Well, the metaphor has a meaning that tells us something about Jesus Christ that we would miss if the metaphor wasn't used.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Thank you very much. I really did enjoy the Apocalypse Code, and I hope to read some more of your work soon. You're an eminent scholar, and I enjoyed it.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for your kind words. And, I'm just another person in the kingdom, and one of the things that we're trying to indicate by doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast is not to set myself apart as an authority as much as to say that all of us are called to exercise discernment skills. All of us are called to read the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mine the Bible for all its wealth. And so hopefully by listening to the broadcast, you catch the bug. Don't just rely on other people, but get into the Word of God and get the Word of God. into you. Duane next in Newton, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Duane.
Hi, how you doing? I have a question about how Christians engage in the culture related to gay marriage, right? So a friend of mine has a nephew who's going to get married to a man, and he and his wife are both Christians. And the wife wants him to go. She says, you have to support him, this, that, the other thing. And she thinks support, like, ultimately the support is the most important thing here. But the man, he doesn't really believe that's prudent. You know, he doesn't support gay marriage, but he loves his nephew. And he's trying to find a way to proceed. I see in the Bible, like, Jesus, you know, while he's not a proponent of prostitution, you know, he was accused by the Pharisees of sitting with publican sinners and these people that are on the fringes of society and everything. And I was wondering how a Christian, like, is a good witness. How does a person witness in light of, you know, like, the way the culture is now? You know, like, I don't, you know, like, I personally don't think going to the wedding is prudent. You know, but he, you know, like, he doesn't want to cut off ties with his nephew, you know? So, how, biblically, how does one approach something like that?
Well, first of all, Duane, let me tell you that I really love the way you're thinking about this to begin with. It shows that you're a thoughtful and discerning Christian. I was just thinking, as you were speaking, that Dr. Michael Ross has an opinion on this, and then another person that I highly admire has the exact opposite opinion on this. So Joe Dallas, who I've had on the broadcast many times, says he would not attend a gay marriage. Michael Ross says he would. But you know what's really interesting is Michael Ross said essentially the same thing you said in the prologue to the question. He said, though that is his opinion, he would not force that opinion on his wife, because this is something that you prayerfully consider before the Lord. Then he gives some of the reasons that you touched on in the prologue to the question, and that's why I think that the way you're thinking about this is so good. What I'd like to do in this regard, I don't want to obfuscate or not answer the question. I can get into this a little more deeply, but what I really want people to do is get the article. The reason is that when we have a debate in the Christian Research Journal between two men that I very much admire, that debate illumines truth rather than obscuring truth. Because you read the first part by Michael Ross, which is the pro, and you say, wow, he is absolutely on point. And then you read Joe Dallas and you go, whoa, Joe Dallas has a couple of points I want to consider as well. And what that does is it forces you to exegete the biblical text and also get the sense of the biblical life, what it means to not only know about truth, but to have life in the sense of living the life of Jesus Christ modeled before the world. So I think in lieu of answering your question directly, because I think you're pretty much on target in your thinking, I think what I'd like to do is commend this article in the Christian Research Journal to you.
Oh, I'd appreciate that. I read a few articles by Joe Dallas. As a matter of fact, I actually gave some friends of mine an article or two that he wrote about just, you know, the perception about homosexuality and I really did appreciate his take on it, and just his way, the way he was able to kind of like itemize the points and then expound on them. You know, it was real comprehensive. So I you know, I don't think you're avoiding the question at all. Like, you know, I'd like some direction. So
yeah, and then also just to recognize that. That the perspective that is given to us by Michael Ross, and I had Michael Ross on the broadcast yesterday, is very helpful as well. He says, and I'll read this part of the article. I just opened the article, and it says this, and this is just one paragraph in the article, but he says, the pathway to honest, spiritual, and restorative conversation between the gay person and close relative must be kept open at all costs. Respect and a modicum of acceptance can go a long way to opening hearts to the gospel. Evangelical Christianity may well have become known more for what it is against than for what it stands for. Our retreat into sanctified ghettos under the excuse of go out from their midst and be separate from them, and this is a quote that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, has led to disaster. The retreat from public schools, academia, politics, the media, the arts, entertainment, publishing, and journalism has led to a culture without a coherent gospel witness. And I think those are seminal words. On the other hand, if you read the con part by Joe Dallas, there are some things that we have to contemplate as well. If you don't have the article, we can give you a copy of the article if you just hang on, or I think it might be up on the web. Whatever, we'll get the article into your hands. By the way, we have some really interesting calls coming up in the next segment. I'm looking at the board. It's full. There are all kinds of questions, from questions with respect to Joel Osteen to questions with respect to gay marriage and much, much more. So please don't touch that dial.
In previous generations, the possibility of hiring a pastor who was divorced was rare. Social expectations and ecclesiastical standards would exclude a divorced man from the gospel ministry. But beginning with the surge of divorce following World War II, recent decades increasingly manifest broken marriages, and divorced Americans now include divorced pastors. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal asks and answers, "Should I attend a church led by a divorced pastor?" Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this. Have you ever wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but there's just something fundamentally unfair and not terribly bright about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that matters. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI in arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change. From a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888 7000 CRI. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the future of our planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change. From a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. To stand with CRI in resisting this rising tide, go online now to equip.org with your gift and make a difference that matters. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and love what you just said. I think one of the things that we ought to do as well is recognize that there are some wonderful resources that we can put into your hands as a way of thanking you for your gift. And it is not only my way of thanking you, but it is my way of equipping you. And that's what we are, an equipping ministry. So you are always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. If you've listened to the broadcast over the last several months, you've heard me take several books and commend them to you. One of those books is God, a Moral Monster by Paul Copan. I quite frankly did not know that this book would catch on like it has. So many people are getting this book for their reference library. It's a book that you can turn to over and over again when you're trying to make sense of the Old Testament God. And sometimes you have to do that because the culture is saying some very unsettling things about the Old Testament God, that he is indeed a moral monster, that he is such a moral monster that he has edicts that range from slavery being something that's acceptable to genocide being something that we should consider as one civilization wipes out another civilization, or that the God of the Bible is very different in one testament than he is in the other testament. All of these questions are contextualized, answered in a very satisfying fashion. This is one of those books, again, that I'd love to put in your hands, just as my way of saying thank you for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Also, would like to mention the Osteenification of American Christianity. Literally thousands and thousands of people have not only ordered the book or the CD or received the download that you can get on the web at equip.org, but have also received some of the information that is available in different ways on the Osteenification of American Christianity. In other words, through our broadcasts, etc. So the other thing that I was going to mention is I had a senior moment there. I was thinking about the six packs. It just flipped out of my mind. But anyway, we have six packs available, and people are getting the six packs and giving these books away so that people can understand why they have the view that they do after they read the book themselves. So again, the Osteenification of American Christianity, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You'll hear me many times on the broadcast mention the journal. And I don't want you to tune this out as an ad, because this again is our way of equipping you. So often the questions that I answer on the Bible Answer Man broadcast have been answered in the journal as well. And right now, we have a special offer code, May 14. And when you enter that code, you receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free, plus your subscription is at reduced price. All you have to do is go online, equip.org, or call us at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, if you go online, enter the code May 14. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to RC, Kansas City, Missouri. Bot Radio. Hi, RC.
Hi, Hank. It is always a pleasure and honor to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
I tell you, ever since I've been listening to you, it has not been a happenstance accident that I'm listening to you. I mean, the places where I'm going to right now can only be godsend, and your ministry has equipped me thus far, and so You know, I'm even going through a candidacy within my church for, you know, and it's the discernment process. And but thanks to you guys. And so I give to you guys on a monthly basis.
Oh, thank you.
Look at you guys. Such a great and tremendous resource. What a godsend. God bless you guys. All right. I have a question for you, and it's from someone near and dear to me. I'd like to ask it, you know, the way he wrote it, but basically he is, you know, I see a deeper need here. It's almost, and I listen to ACLG as well, and it's almost like, you know, today's culture is trying to run God's morality out of courts and out of the system. And because of that pop culture, because we read the magazines, we subscribe to all of that, and, you know, he's gotten the Creation Answer book and all of that. But here's his question. If our job as Christians is to engage homosexuals in a thoughtful dialogue that will spark a change in them, how does barring their ability to get marital rights at the state level successfully accomplish this? In the long run, does this benefit us while homosexuals still view it as an equality issue? How is this reaching out to them in a loving manner? It's almost like he sees discrimination and hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Can you help me reach out to him?
Yeah, and, you know, emphasize, first of all, that everything that we do is done with gentleness and with respect. We should never, as Christians, try to create a we-they siege mentality against the world. Jesus Christ didn't do that, and we shouldn't model that kind of activity by the way we act towards people. So we should act with a tremendous amount of compassion, love, and kindness, and also look at ourselves and recognize that we too are sinners in need of the grace of God. But I remember something that Jay Richards said when I had him on the broadcast. He talked about the fact that rights come from our nature, and our nature comes from God. And the moment you deny that, you deny the basis of all other rights. And I'm talking about all other rights of all other human beings. So in the end, if you redefine marriage, what you are in essence doing is striking a mortal blow to the foundation of a free society in which all of us have to function in some cohesive fashion. Because human beings by nature are inextricably woven together. Now, you look at what happens when you redefine marriage. The moment you do that, you erode the rational basis for rejecting other kinds of aberrations. Where's the rational basis now for someone saying, I'm against polygamy, which, by the way, has done incalculable harm to women? Or where's the rational basis for saying I'm against incest? Or I'm against a whole other host of things that people who hold the worldview that you alluded to would deny being helpful to people themselves? They would say, I myself think this is wrong. So somewhere people have to make value judgments. So the question is, are those value judgments made on the basis of political rhetoric or political correctness, or is there some objective basis for making those kinds of assessments or judgments? And as Jay Richards has rightly said, rights come from our nature, and our nature comes from God. A couple of other things I'd mention in this regard. One is social sciences. The social sciences have demonstrated that children are best served by marriage defined as a mother and a father. Now, this is just social metrics. This is not someone with skin in the game. This is someone who is simply looking at the facts. This is what you will find in terms of social science and their findings. Secondly, I would say, think about what marriage redefinition does in terms of devaluing civil society and in the process, therefore, damaging the very ones that we want to protect. I mean, you look at political correctness, and we want to protect women and children, and rightly so. But the very thing that marriage redefinition does is harm the very ones that we want to protect. And in the process, you create chaos in society. So this isn't a way of showing love towards other people. It's actually showing maybe disregard for other people. Now, we think oftentimes by agreeing with someone or doing what's politically correct that we're helping someone, but that's not the essence of love at all. Love tells someone the truth, even if it hurts.
Wow, thank you. So it is all right to bold our conscience based on our beliefs and our values being Christian followers.
Yeah, it's not only right, but it's also helpful to the very people who think it's unhelpful. And so it's a matter of trying to educate them, and you can't do that by force-feeding them, but you can do that by being prepared, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. And remember, the gospel is an offense to the unregenerate world, but we don't have to add to the offense by the way we communicate it.
Oh, rightly put. That's what I need there. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call and your kind words. You know, I was reading this morning a newspaper, and the headline said, First Openly Gay Episcopal Bishop Divorces. And the article goes on to say, it's by John Bacon, the Episcopal bishop whose openly gay life ignited a controversy that rippled through the church, or ripped the church apart, says he is divorcing his partner of more than 25 years. The article goes on to say he met his future husband, Mark Andrew, back in 1987. And then, as the article progresses, this is what the gay Episcopal bishop says. He says, as my marriage to Mark ends, I believe him to be one of the kindest, most generous, and loyal human beings on earth. There is no way I could ever repay the debt I owe him. Now think about this. Here you have an Episcopal bishop divorcing his husband and is saying that his husband is one of the kindest, most generous, most loyal human beings on the planet. My question is, if that is true, why in the world would you get a divorce? Which is to say, even if you accept his parameters for marriage, the redefinition of marriage, you have to ask, does he really understand the content and essence of love? Because if you are a Christian bishop, you understand that the biblical meaning of love is not an ethereal feeling. It ultimately is a commitment. Feelings ebb and flow. A commitment never should. And why in the world, if you made a commitment till death do us part to your husband, would you say, I am going to divorce him even though he is among the kindest, most generous, most loyal human beings on the planet? It's totally a boggling of the mind. Again, this is why it is so important to learn discernment skills. A lot of interesting calls coming up. I mentioned in the last break that I was going to answer a question on Joel Osteen. Has someone hanging on wanting to ask me a question about that? We'll deal with that on the other side of the break. I do remember, if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, please remedy that woeful condition immediately by going to the web at equip.org. Be right back.
Have you wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be because we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is now in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but we think there's just something fundamentally unfair about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that makes a difference. 888-7000-CRI. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change, from a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Have you ever wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but there's just something fundamentally unfair and not terribly bright about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI in arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. Have you wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be because we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is now in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but we think there's just something fundamentally unfair about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, go online to the Christian Research Institute's website at equip.org and give a gift that makes a difference. Equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ray. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, KQCV. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Hank. I appreciate your broadcast, and I respect you, and I think you're doing a great job, and you're sincere.
Thank you.
The caller that called in earlier about Revelations and the Mark of the Beast, I've been listening to you for quite some time, and I hear you keep saying metaphorically. Well, we're not all as educated and knowledgeable and intelligent as you are, and we read the Bible, and we read it, Mark of the Beast, in the forehead, in the hand, can't buy or sell. And then I hear you say, well, it's metaphorically, you have to understand Old Testament. So you make the Bible hard to understand when you say one thing and we've been taught something else. I get confused.
Well, I, first of all, let me say I appreciate your passion for truth. It's evident in your voice. I mean, I can hear that you really deeply care, and I think that's the starting the starting spot for all of this. But let's talk about what a metaphor is. A metaphor is an implied comparison, and that implied comparison identifies a word or a phrase with something that it doesn't literally represent. Now, this doesn't minimize biblical truth, but as I said previously in this broadcast, it magnifies truth that we might otherwise miss. So the identification creates a meaning that lies beyond a woodenly literal interpretation and therefore requires on your part and my part as we read the Bible an imaginative leap in order to grasp what is being communicated. So when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," you and I immediately recognize that Jesus is saying something more than "I am literally bread, physical bread." He's saying something that's being magnified. He's saying, "I am the essence of life." And the same thing is true when we see Jesus described as a lion or a lamb. He can't be literally a lion. He can't be literally a lamb. The metaphors are intended to communicate something that we might miss if the metaphor wasn't used. So the point here, Ray, is that it doesn't obscure truth. It magnifies truth. The other thing, though, I would say is, look, you think about the mark of the beast, and that was the very question that I was asked earlier on in the broadcast as well. You think about the mark of the beast, and you immediately think, wow, how can I possibly take that in a wooden, literal sense, as opposed to, I think I should take it in a wooden, literal sense. Why? Should you take the former, not the latter? The reason is because when you start to read through the entirety of the book of Revelation, you immediately recognize that that beast is being described using fantasy imagery. So how's the beast being depicted? Well, he's being depicted as an enormous red dragon. And the red dragon has seven heads. The red dragon has 10 horns. And then you have locusts with human faces and women's hair and lion's teeth. And then you have a beast that resembles a leopard with feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. Well, what's distinct about all of this is nothing here corresponds to anything in the real world that we inhabit. But yet it's useful imagery that John employs. Why? Because fantasy images, though unreal, are a realistic means by which we can ponder that which is real. And that's the point of using that kind of imagery. But if we really said, okay, now the devil has seven heads and he has 10 horns, then we would mistake the overall teaching of the Bible that the devil is a non-physical being. So it's important that we read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, because if we don't, then we're going to obscure essential Christian doctrine. You can say the same thing about God himself. The Mormons read the book of Genesis and they say, wow, God walks with Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day, God has feet. We say, no, this is what's called an anthropomorphism. An anthropomorphism, it's a big word, it's a fancy word, but it really has a fairly simple meaning. It means speaking in the way that a human being can relate to. So in some sense, Ray, it's a heavenly condescension so that we understand something about God. We understand the Bible in terms of the purposes of God, and we understand the revelation ultimately being God communicating his purposes for humanity, which ultimately have to do with worshiping and loving him forever in a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
I understand that, but if someone reads it that can read and has some education, mm-hmm. and they read God walks with Adam and Eve, and then they believe that forever and ever, is that going to obscure them from understanding the rest of the Bible when they say that
It may, you know, if let's just say that I'm just speaking to you. You and I are having a conversation. We're having a cup of coffee, and we're talking about all kinds of different things. And you look out the window, and you say, "Oh my goodness, it's raining cats and dogs. I hope you brought your umbrella." And I say to you, "You know what? Since it's raining cats and dogs, I don't think an umbrella will do. It's not going to shield me from a cat and a dog falling out of the sky." You would look at me and say, "You know what? You have just lost it. I was using a metaphor, right?" And that metaphor was communicating something. It was communicating that it's really raining hard, right?
But you were communicating with someone that knew what cats and dogs meant.
Well, and good point. That's a really good point on your part. And that's precisely the art and science of biblical interpretation. And here's the deal, right? It's an art in that the more you do it, the better you get at it, but it's a science in that certain rules apply. There's another thing, though, and that is that you and I are, we are wired from birth to understand grammatical constructions. We intuitively understand grammatical constructions, and therefore your point is well taken. I intuitively know that you're saying something other than cats and dogs are falling out of the sky, because it would be an absurdity for me to take that in a wooden literalistic fashion. You know, or I'm watching a football game and say, "Wow, that wide receiver climbed a ladder and caught the pass." Well, we know that the wide receiver did not suddenly grab a ladder, climb it, and then catch the ball at the apex of its flight. We know that something else was going on. He went really high to get that pass, which was probably overthrown by the quarterback. So we kind of intuitively understand these things, and I think there's a sense in which we get that from the Bible, but that's something that comes from reading the Bible in light of the Bible. And that's why I say it's so important, going back to the mark of the beast, that we have some kind of contextualization from the rest of Scripture. So the forehead and the hands are Old Testament symbols of a person's belief and behavior. You see that in Exodus. You see that in Deuteronomy. You see that in Ezekiel. So what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. And therefore, John's reference to the mark of the beast in Revelation is securely tethered to something. It's tethered to Scripture. The notion that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship or a social security card or a silicon microchip is not tethered to Scripture. It's tethered to a fantasy that you might have in your mind, or sensationalism, that kind of thing.
But couldn't God have, I know he could have, had the Bible written so that a mark could mean anything, and if you can't buy or sell, you're going to die.
Right, but think about it this way. Let's even say that that mark has something to do with what's going to happen in the future. Right. Think about it this way. I can tell just talking to you that you care passionately about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Therefore, whether you have a mark on your forehead or not, I already know who you belong to. And so does everybody else. And if someone asked you, "Ray, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?" you would say, "Absolutely." And they'd say, "You know what, Ray, I'm going to shoot you right now unless you say that Jesus Christ is a demon or he does what he does through Beelzebub, the prince of demons." You would say, "I'd rather die than deny my Lord." And that would identify you as a follower of Jesus Christ, whether there's a physical mark on you or not. The same thing is true with the world. If you listen to a Bill Maher call God a moral monster and an outrageous idea, if you see him mock and ridicule the precious Word of God, you don't need some kind of a mark on his forehead to recognize that he has identified with the kingdom of darkness. Now, we pray that he one day will identify with the kingdom of light, that he will shed his fundamentalist perspective, but he may not. We know who he is aligned with because he's made that very clear. So no physical mark is necessary in either case.
Okay, it's just that it's been drilled into my head, and I've been listening to other scholars, you know, and that's what they preach, and they never say metaphorically, you know, this could happen. So it's in my head that it's going to happen, you know, and I'm not going to take it, you know.
So what you've done is a really good thing. You've listened to more than one source. And that in itself is commendable. And you're even open to considering this, that this perspective that I'm giving. And that, again, is commendable on your part. And so what I would say is, now, don't take what I say to be true because I've said it. I would say examine it closely. Because ultimately, if you do, this will not only answer a question with respect to the mark of the beast, but it may turn out to open the Bible for you like a flowering rose, so that you go, wow, there is some substance here that I would have missed otherwise. And that would be the greatest of all eventualities, because the Word of God is precious. It is unfathomable. We can never plumb completely the depth of the Word of God, but every single time you attempt, you're going to get something very valuable out of it. So what you're doing right now in testing this and asking the question and challenging me is a very good thing.
I appreciate your service to us, Hank, and keep up the good work.
Ray, I appreciate your call so much, and I have written on this in many different places, including the Apocalypse Code, which has been mentioned on the broadcast. I've written about this as well in Has God Spoken? Memorable Keys to Understanding the Bible's Divine as Opposed to Merely Human in Origin. So that book is available. In that book, I teach the art and science of biblical interpretation. On this broadcast, we have discussed so many subjects. We've discussed same-sex marriage. We've discussed the whole idea with respect to how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and so much more. I promised to take a call on Joel Osteen. I didn't get to it. My apologies. Hopefully I can get to that tomorrow. But we are flat out of time. I thought that Ray had a very poignant question, and I thought it was worth our time to explore these things together. It's a theme for the show, the mark of the beast, and how you interpret that. But that goes to how to interpret Scripture in general. It's a very important subject. It's right at the heart of what we do. So glad to be able to elaborate on this subject on today's broadcast. We are out of time, as I said. We'll be right back tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks to your prayers and your support. God bless you.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Have you ever wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but there's just something fundamentally unfair and not terribly bright about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that matters. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI in arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today.
Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.